please, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 again. The title of the message last week was Deception, a Reminder of Our Need for Grace. And it's just so easy for people to become deceived. And not only do we become deceived, but sometimes we deceive ourselves. And that's a really a heartbreaking thing. And so knowing that ought to help us to prepare and set at watch the Lord and allow Him to take care of those things, follow Him absolutely. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 6. The Bible says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. But every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we'll stop there for our thoughts today. Father, we thank you today that you love us, and Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you take all the prayer requests that were articulated today, and Lord, those that even maybe weren't spoken, and I pray that you'd have your perfect and absolute and complete will in all of those matters. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to give you the burdens and the cares of our heart. I ask you, Lord, to continue to help us to be faithful to give the word of God out, knowing that it will not return to you void. Help us, Lord, to do our part so that you can do your part. We pray, Lord, for Saturday's visitation and for the services tonight and Wednesday night, and then for the missions conference coming up. Lord, we're excited about all of those events and pray, Lord, that each one would glorify you. Now, please, Lord, today honor your word and the foolishness of its preaching. Be glorified by our thoughts, the motivations of our hearts, the intents of our lives, be glorified by us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we're thinking on the idea of deceiving ourselves. We noticed in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible said, if a believer who is the temple of the Holy Spirit, if he violates the temple, if he defiles the temple, him, the Bible says, God will destroy. It doesn't say he'll blow it up all at once, but it does say that he will destroy it. And I believe that there are peoples who live out not nearly all the time that God would have given them had they taken care of the temple. You know, that your body is what carries the Holy Spirit around. Your body is what carries the message around. And God wants us to keep the body clean. We've been reading in Leviticus and now into Numbers in our daily reading, and boy, how precise God is and how exact He is in keeping the temple clean and keeping it polished and doing everything proper in there. Now, if God's going to take care of a tent that much, God certainly wants us to take care of this tent, our body. And so He says, if we violate the temple and think that if we're saved, now I think there's another qualification too. If you're not saved, you're not a part of the temple, and so God deals with that differently, I think, than He does the temple. But if you're saved and you think you can just do whatever you want to do to the temple and so-called get away with it, then the Bible says we've fooled ourselves, deceived ourselves. And then in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 3, we notice that you can deceive yourself by valuing yourself too highly. The Bible says here, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, you take God and His grace away from us and we're really not worth much. Especially when you stack us up towards eternity. God's grace is so, so very, very necessary. And He says that if we value ourselves highly, then we've just deceived ourselves. In our reading today, we came to verse number 7, And it doesn't talk about self-deception, but he does tell us in this portion of Scripture, and I thought it necessary to stop here a moment because it is in the book of Galatians, and he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." To mock is to turn up your nose at, it's to sneer at, or to deride. And the word deride means to laugh in contempt or to ridicule or to make sport of. When I thought of someone making sport of, two things came to my mind. I thought of Samson as he was getting ready had his eyes taken out, and they were making sport of him. They talked about this man who could do all these things, all these wonderful feats, and look at him now. And they made sport of him. They derided him. And the Bible testifies if we do that toward God. The other example I thought of was the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If he's the Son of God, let him come down and show us. And they derided him and they mocked at him. And God says that don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we need to understand that. Now, as we think about the idea of mocking here, the idea of sowing and reaping, every farmer knows if you want to harvest corn, you have to plant corn. If you want to harvest oats, you have to plant oats. Or sometimes God is gracious and you get a bumper crop or a volunteer crop and it comes up on its own. But it's still, every seed produces itself. Every seed produces in a like kind. God set that up some 6,000 years ago, and that's the way it's maintained itself through these years. And they know you can't plant one thing and plan on harvesting something else. I guess unless you planted it in a weed patch, you could throw some seed into a weed patch and harvest weed seed, I guess. But planting is preparing for a harvest. And what you plant is what you're going to reap. And God shows us that in the physical so that we can understand that in the spiritual. Now, when you go back one verse and find out the context of where God is talking about this, notice in verse number 6, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, in context, not out of context, not just preaching material, but in context, God is saying, listen to me now, God is saying that God will take care of you like you take care of the preacher. Now, too many Baptist churches, and let me say this on the onset of this, I guess. I thank God that in the time that Miss Judy and I have been here, almost 11 years now, we have not been mistreated financially. The church has stepped up, and sometimes at some cost to you, to take care of us. We, in December, coming into this year, we got another raise for which we're very thankful, and y'all have done a good job. And so it's easier for me to teach this part of the lesson when it's that way. It hasn't always been that way in our life. It hasn't always been that way. One time I remember serving in a church where we made $145 a month support and $25 a week from the church, period. And you just make do. But let me say this too, God never failed us. God always showed up on time, but it's easier when God's people do what they're supposed to do. And so I guess that there's a lot of people that will push contracts and unions and labor laws and one thing or another, trying to keep their salary up and try to starve a preacher to death. It's said as a joke, but if you're there, it's no joke. Lord, send us a poor, humble preacher. If you'll keep him humble, we promise we'll keep him poor. And we say that as a joke, but in some situations, that's how it is. I've heard deacons say in meetings, well, he's a preacher, he should be able to live on less than us. Like as if his kid's shoes don't cost as much as the deacon's kid's shoes do. Or the gasoline he puts in his car doesn't cost as much as the deacon's gas costs. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. And so the Bible says, listen, the best way in the world for you to get a raise is to give the preacher one. Amen. Okay, amen. And again, we're speaking on this side of having just received one, for which I'm very, very thankful. And we just need to learn how to be good givers. Givers are livers. Givers are people who live. Givers are people who live. We'll put it that way, amen, so we don't get ourselves caught in a quandary there. But you say, well, to what extent should that go? How about to this extent? Do you think that God is going to tell a church to take care of the preacher and not tell you where to draw the boundary at? Let's look at some things on that, because we don't want Bethel Baptist Church now or sometime in the future to deceive themselves. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Most of the time we use this portion of Scripture when we're talking about missions. But we're going to begin reading in verse number 6 and read down here a ways and thinking on the subject of taking care of the preacher. Notice what the Bible says. He says, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Now, Paul asked the question. He said, if Barnabas and I choose to, shouldn't we be able to take care of the church without working? Without laboring, building tents and driving trucks or whatever else it was they did, currying camels. I don't know what all they did, but I know Paul was a tent builder. But he said, have not we power to forbear working, to not work? We have that power, is what he's saying. Verse number 7, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If ye have sown unto us spiritual things, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And I didn't think to look up the verse where the Apostle Paul asked the question. He says, wherein have you come behind any of these other works? And then he says, except in taking care of us. And then Paul says, forgive me this wrong. Paul apologizes to the church of Corinth for not insisting that they take care of him. That's not preached very much. Unless you're invited to come in and preach, and then the preacher sits there on the edge of his seat going, all the time you preach it, because he knows it can be such a sticky wicket. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And we're going to begin in verse number 17. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So here the Bible testifies that an elder, and here's the thing that you need to understand when thinking about giving a preacher a raise or taking care of missionaries or whatever it might be with God's money, is he doing well? Is he doing the job well? Now here the Bible says, and especially, let me find it here again, chapter 5, verse 17. And especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So doctrine, while many churches are trying to forget doctrine, you know, this is everybody love everybody. Don't be talking about doctrine, because doctrine divides, and it does. Doctrine divides because doctrine defines. And the Bible says here that a preacher is doing what he's supposed to be doing is going to be laboring in the word and doctrine. And then he goes back to this Old Testament example again in verse 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, what do you suppose it means when it says you're not supposed to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn? Now, under the law, let's go back under the law. Here's a farmer. He's out with his ox. He's working with his ox, and he's treading out the corn. So he's gathered up his harvest, whether it be corn or wheat or barley or oats or whatever, and he puts it in a place that's probably, then it was probably either a stone place or a place that was made hard, and they put that out there. And then the ox was just, all the oxen had to do is walk around, and by doing that, his weight would shell out that grain. Well, in the process of doing that, every once in a while, the oxen would stop and reach down and grab a mouthful of food, and then he'd take off going again. And so some stingy and miserly Jewish man would develop a muzzle that he could put on the ox, so when he stopped and put his head down, he's not stealing the grain. God said, no, 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 no. The ox was to be able to eat. Now, hear me now. The ox was to be able to eat as much as he wanted to eat. 50,000 people in heaven just said amen, and 49,000 of them were former pastors. Amen. The ox was to eat whatever he wanted to eat. Now, in churches today, we put ceilings on things. We put grenzes. We put borders. We put boundaries. And we do that so that our good will not be evil spoken of. But when somebody says, we're paying our preacher too much, say, well, what did he do? Did he take all the money that was there and then sell something? Because based on those two portions of Scripture in the Old Testament, admonition and example, a preacher is supposed to be able to get, listen to me, and I'm not being stingy, and I'm not being unsatisfied, not being unthankful, but the preacher is supposed to be able to get whatever he wants. And it would behoove you to pray that his want to stays within the confines of God's word. And again, we put grenzes, we put borders, we put boundaries, we put lines, we put limits, and we do that to protect the preacher and to protect the people, to protect the testimony of God. There are unscrupulous people in the ministry, no doubt. And they would take everything and then leave town. Just the way it is. But because they're unscrupulous doesn't mean that the church has license from God to be as unscrupulous as the preacher is. Or as a preacher was. Let me say it that way. Amen. So we have this misunderstanding. We think that the deacons or the leadership in the church, they're supposed to set the boundaries. Now that's not what the Bible. You don't find that in the Bible. Now they working with the preacher can agree on things, and those grenzes and those borders and those boundaries can be established. But they need to be established by consent and not by command. And the Bible says simply in our text there in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, it says, let me read it so we get it exactly right. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's just a flat, simple fact that churches reap what churches sow. That is a good amen bell. Okay, Father, thank you today that you love us. Thank you for the word of God, how plain it is, Lord. When we just take it out from underneath all the traditions, all the words of men, all the ways of men. And Lord, I thank you for the way Bethel Baptist Church has taken care of Miss Judy and I, have provided for us, have sometimes even sacrificed for us. Lord, I know how disheartening it is to see a savings account going down. I understand how disheartening it is to see a tremendous bill come due on the church. Lord, we understand that. And yet we've seen you, Lord, just time after time after time, be so faithful to us and so giving to us. And Lord, I so appreciate that fact. And I believe Bethel Baptist Church is reaping what they have sown in the past in trying to take care of the preacher. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your book. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God who guides us in the Word of God. Now, Lord, we pray that our after service would bring glory to you. Bring some more folk in today, Lord. Speak to hearts. It would be good to see someone walk the aisle and get saved today. Well, thank you for that possibility. In Jesus' name, amen.